Hi, everyone. Welcome to Nancy's Metaphysical World and More. My name is Nancy, and I host the show, and today I have a very interesting guest on. He does something that everybody really needs to know about, especially in today's economy. So I'm going to bring him on right away. His name is James Martinez. So, James, welcome to the show.
Well, hey, well, thank you very much for having me.
Now, James, let's talk a little bit about you first, because you've got some little history for yourself going on where you've done a couple of things, and then we're going to get into what you're doing now. So could you tell my listeners a little bit about who you are?
Okay. Basically, my public digital image, shall we say, is that on radio. It started many, many years ago. I primarily talk about finance on the radio, obviously, but I don't talk about it in terms of the typical finance that you would suspect that we see every day on CNN and MSNBC and so forth. I talk about it in terms of energy and in terms of behavior and in terms of law and all those things intertwined with advancement of technology. I originally, about well over 10 years ago actually, I was working with a gentleman by the name of Walter Boert, who wrote a book called Operation Mind Control. That mm-hmm. book was written in the 70s. It was based upon I'm sure everybody remembers quickly, the Bourne Supremacy film franchise starring Matt Damon.
Mm-hmm.
It was based on the technology of being able to take a human being and turn them into a killing machine. And he had studied that and exposed that and so forth. And while I was working for him for a long time, working with him, I was on the board of directors of the Freedom of Thought Foundation. And during my time working with him, I was examining the money issues because I found a common thread through most of everything, and everybody has to deal with money on some level. And what I was trying to do when I was working with him is I was studying the effects of human behavior with people that have, you know, so-called alleged debt consciousness. And during that time, I was working with a lot of Hollywood creative people. I was working as a casting director, actually, in Los Angeles here. And I was studying media, but I was studying also effects of television media, digital media, all sorts of media, and how people interact with it and how the effects are on the behavioral process of everybody. So, and that was a big issue in his book on how that was done, because one of the statements that he made in that book was that the primary directive for a lot of powers that be, including international bankers, was to create a kind of electronically, psychologically conditioned society, not just in the U.S., but all over the world. And that, of course, had to be tied in with banking. So many years ago, I was working with some casting people because I was looking into and asked to all the time to deal with finance for movies and deal with certain subject matter having to do with finance. And what I was really interested in doing is kind of discovering what was really going on in banking, not just the ones and the zeros and the standard accounting things, but what is really, really going on behind the money process, not just the Federal Reserve and all the talk we've heard about that all over radio and TV and so forth, but what is the consciousness that has brought us to this situation that we're in today. Now, I started dealing with people that had vast amounts of credit card problems, and we tried to figure out a way, because we knew if somebody could go declare Chapter 7 and just suddenly be gone with that, they could certainly do it a different way and argue something about the nature of what I call the alleged debt, because there's never been a case ever filed where a bank credit card company has proven in a court of law that they actually loaned anything, because they can't. Mm-hmm. And that's a big issue. So many years ago, I discovered how to do that. I studied it long and hard, and I kind of put what my education was with Walter Boert into play, and I started getting people out of credit card debt on my own, working with other people, having conference calls with 35, 40 people at the same time, educating them on, you know, what happened. And what I discovered was, which is unusual, is that there is a type of implementation of programming on consciousness having to do with banking, especially credit cards. And that is what I bring to the broadcast radio that I'm on, is being able to take an individual that either has a mortgage issue or a credit card issue and transform them, not only legally so that they can get out of that situation legally through the court of law, but also alter their behavior and all the programming that got them into that position in the first place. That is what I did. And then what happened was, while I was discovering this and I was working with Walter Boward, he passed away a couple of years ago, and we never got to finish what we set out to do, and that was to expose it in the form of a book. And right at during that time, he passed away. So one of the things I discovered was that the credit card actually is, as Marsha McLuhan would put it, it is a kind of media extension to the body. It alters the behavioral process of how we spend, how we conceive money, how we save money. It has to do with self-esteem, status, all these suggestions of kind of hypnotic behavior that have been reinforced through years and years and years of education. So I want to uncover that, unravel all of it, and I want to go meet with Mary McLuhan, who's the daughter of Marshall McLuhan, the genius Marshall McLuhan, the medium is the message, that guy. And I told her, I said I was working with Boward, I discovered this about the banking, and I discovered it about the credit card companies and what they've done, and your father was right. When information travels at the speed of light, it totally destroys banking and privacy and ownership and everything in its path. And one of the things that I talk about on the radio, which nobody even wants to really talk about in mainstream media at all, because they don't want you to really understand this, is that, you know, we're living in a digital environment. Banking is over. We cannot have proper accounting. Hence, you know, we've seen all these interviews of people saying, well, where did the $1 trillion go? Where did the $1 billion go? How is it spent? Where are the ones and zeros? Can we see the accounting, please? And nobody has any real numbers. Hence, we have the biggest deficit. Hence, we have a global infrastructure problem, and our money is failing us. So that's where I kind of came from. That's what I do today, is deal with people with those issues, as well as teaching people how to manage their lifestyle in the current situation that we're in now. Plus, of course, I also work with a gentleman by the name of Bob Neverett, who was sent to me prior to Walter Boward's death, who used to work for the intelligence agencies many, many years ago. He's probably regarded as one of the richest men in the world right now. He's a special guest I have on Wednesday, and something historical happened actually on this network. I had been talking. Now, this is great news for everybody. This is a reason everybody can see that there is something great that is going to change the whole world for the better. We have to go through a transformational process first, but this is the man's greatest invention of all time, which was cold fusion. I was talking about that, saying that it was going to come to life and how it was going to happen and so forth, and it actually did on 8/28/08. It actually secretly opened up in China. And then probably many months and weeks I was talking about this occurring, and suddenly on 60 Minutes they declared that cold fusion is real, and this will solve the world's energy problems. It will completely change humanity. It will destroy the banking system forever. It was done as a kind of war strategy, I should say, to indicate that the powerful families and international bankers that have subjugated us to this type of slavery through banking are not going to win, because there's a lot of fear and a lot of perpetrated anxiety propelled out in society right now, and there's not been enough emphasis on what we should be expecting, which is a great future for all of us when this is implemented. It'll take many years through the entire world. It'll change everything and change also how we deal with money. So that's a quick summary of kind of where I came and what I mean. I'm left a lot out, of course, but just wanted to give you the bullet points.
James, I have a question. A lot of people tend very much to live in fear when it comes to money. A lot of people live in fear thinking they don't have enough or they're not going to have enough. So when you were doing your psychological studies and stuff, how often do you think that crosses somebody's mind about the fear of not having money?
Well, it's programmed in society. We have to borrow. Hence, we owe. Hence, we are in the anxiety, constant programmed anxiety of paying back. I talk to people all the time. They call me with sometimes hundreds of thousands of alleged debt. all sorts of different people from every walk of life, and I asked them one simple question. I said, what do you do for a living? What's your career? They said, well, I'm a doctor, I'm a lawyer, whatever. I said, well, that's not what you're really doing. That's not who you're working for. What do you mean by that? And I said, well, you have 9 banks that you work for. That's who you work for. You've been working for them for 15 years. And they suddenly like, well, wait a minute. And then, you know, as they realize and understand how this whole process, the conditioning, basically, that got them into this, I kind of, you know, make the statement that, you know, fear, false evidence appearing real. I
right.
expose that and then reframe their thinking patterns and hopefully tell them, you know, it's up to them to actually change the behavior, but they, and I could try to liberate them, not only just by doing the legal situation necessary to get them out of this alleged debt, but that does nothing if you do not change the consciousness of the individual. That's the ticket.
Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people are trying to change that and have been trying to change for a while, but just as soon as they think they might have it, you know, mastered somehow, up pops something else on the news that says, oh, this is going on, that's going on, another crisis, blah, 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 blah. So when the media is constantly keeping that fear factor going in people, or when they get to be where they think they're okay and then something else comes out on the news, how would you suggest for people to overcome that part of the fear or, you know, not be bothered by it? I tell them to turn off the television, but what would you tell somebody?
That's usually the most simplest answer is the best way. But mm-hmm. if some people, you know, if their consciousness is set at a certain point so that when they're interacting with media, whether it's computer, television, newspaper, book, whatever it is, as long as their consciousness is set and they're aware of their awareness and not succumb to the suggestion of all these commercials and stuff that reinforce you to spend more, to get more credit cards, to apply for this, to, like, if you don't have your credit card, you're not going to be able to hotel. What if you get stuck in the car? All the fear implementing things, which they do, to keep everybody down, so to speak. So I always try to, when I get an individual over the phone that's come to me, I try and to dismantle their ego, just ask them to suspend their beliefs for a moment and then investigate themselves, honestly, how they got themselves into the situation, because money is it truly is an electrical currency. That's what it is. The infrastructure of banking with the Federal Reserve and the international banking the way it is we're at a unique place in the evolution of human beings on how we exchange information, the speed and velocity which we do, and the problematic issues of what man's inventions have done to accounting, computers, because I say this all the time, that, you know, just because you carry a credit card and it's in perfect balance does not put you, you know, perfectly safe. There is more today hacking and stealing of identification on credit cards than anyone would ever believe. It's a very hush-hush secret with banks. It goes into the hundreds of millions of dollars of people that have pulled this off. So it really requires everybody to kind of rethink how they're going to deal with money right now, because we're in a very, very unique situation in this country right now, where everybody has got to, you know, they've been in a deep, deep, deep sleep, and most of which they know about finance, it just isn't true. Just not true. And they have to, you know, a lot of people are waking up now because their people have lost everything they've ever had. Their houses, homes, everything that they worked for their entire life has been, you know, vanished. And, you know, I don't think anybody plans on that, but what we do plan on, and probably you would agree, is everybody that is here right now wants to go through this experience. We all collectively created the catastrophe that we call our economy, because we have not stood up and gotten our elected officials to be responsible for the subject and topics regarding finance that we deserve to know about. And it's just not mentioned what the digital environment has done to banking. And that's, you know, everybody's talking about, you know, the bailouts and Madoff and all these things. Look, the international SWIFT codes, which are the codes, if people don't know, the SWIFT codes are used for international transactions through money, which are digital ones and zeros, which, you know, transfer money. Those things were shut off many years ago. Hence, the whole thing that we're dealing with right now is completely been staged. It's to set up something else, or try to anyway. And it's really a time for everybody to wake up. And if they're going to participate, we're the powers that be want us to go, or we're going to go somewhere new, somewhere better.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of talk about the One World Order, which also has a lot of financing included in that. Can you tell me or explain to me, James, a little bit about what your concept of that is and how it would work or why it's not going to work, if you know?
Well, I'll tell you, the good news is it will fail. It's going to fail.
Good.
It's going to fail badly. It failed badly when Cold Fusion was announced on 60 Minutes. That was what that basically was a declaration of war when that occurred. And I'll tell you why. Because when you have a new technology that comes on top of more primitive technologies, it causes a huge disturbance in not only the behavior of the society it opens up to, but also our finance. When Cold Fusion comes in, which happens now, it's going to come in America last, but when it comes in, now imagine this, I want people to think about this closely. If you can buy something once, and it will run your home, your car, and everything else forever, mm-hmm. and you're essentially off the grid, goodbye power company, goodbye oil company, goodbye potentially banks. There's all these potentialities that are going to happen. So the New World Order, and what people are so afraid of, is with this one world government with one currency and one unilateral body saying, okay, this is what we're going to do, and the rest of you, we'll figure it out. And all their ideas about getting rid of the population and doing all the things they're doing, that is going to fail badly. They've already lost, because it's public now that it's really just, if the public would realize what just happened, it's the equivalent of the invention of the light bulb or the wheel. The Cold Fusion, for those people who don't know what Cold Fusion is, it was talked about in the movie called The Saint, starring Val Kilmer many years ago. It was a form of free energy that Pons and Fleischmann discovered. It destroyed their scientific careers many, many years ago when it first came out. And it was like hexed and blackballed and so forth. And then 60 Minutes came in and they said, look, you've been vindicated. We've reproduced this. We now know that it's real. And he held the cathode tube, which was the part of the mechanism to use Cold Fusion. And he said, because this could have helped the world out 10 years ago. And there was a reason why it was held back. It's because the oligarchy families, or the international bankers that have collected and own essentially the earth, and they've collected it through creating money out of thin air like credit cards do, and then charging people for their labor. All of that stuff's going to end. It's ended. They will not win. It's going to look like we're marching toward doomsday, and I know everybody talks about these FEMA camps and everything else, and that may or may not occur, but the New World Order will fail.
Yeah, I know something about it, and it's like I sit back, James, and I look at the people, because I talk to a lot of people, and it's like, realize really what's going on? Do you realize that it doesn't have to go on? Do you realize you have a part to do in this, and you can't be afraid, and you can't listen to what you're being told and bombarded with 24 hours a day? You've got to not do that. And people look at me like, what are you, crazy? And it's like, no, I'm not. But take a look around. See where we're at. You know, how much more can a country print money when there's nothing to back it before it collapses?
Right, exactly.
And they look at me like I'm crazy, and it's like, no, think about it. You know, don't have to answer me. You don't have to relate to me. Just think about it. You know, there's
That's right.
Some people who came to me for some counseling sessions, and he owned a lot of gold. And this is like probably about 7 years ago. He goes, Nancy, I want to sell my gold. I said, no, you don't. He goes, yes, I do. And I go, no, you don't. And we argued about that for probably 15, 20 minutes. And I said, you don't. I said, you don't understand something. Everything is going to be changing between now and the next probably 7, 8, 10 years max. Your gold is going to be so much more worth, you know, something than it is right now. He goes, but I'm losing. I go, you may be losing on it now, but you're not. So if you have to have that urge to sell your gold, you sell a very, very small portion just to shut your brain off, mm-hmm. and then you
yeah.
keep the rest and you'll see.
Yeah,
and he
I like
kind of looked at me. Okay, he just kind of looked at me, and I talked to him, you know, probably every 2 or 3, 4 months, and I said, now, how does it feel to own some gold? And he goes, man, Nancy, you have no idea how much you saved me. And I said, no, you have no idea how much you saved yourself, so
right.
keep that in mind, okay?
Yeah, there you go.
You know, and if people would just understand that, I mean, you know, I have to agree with you, James, the media, the, quote, elite families that, you know, are kind of running everything, they are going to be exposed, and some of them are being exposed now. And it's all going to come down, and there's going to have to be changes. If there's not changes, believe me, a lot of people are just going to, you know, tend to suffer and suffer for nothing, You know,
that's right.
So I'm really glad that you came on this show, and it's not over yet. And I want you to give out your radio show that you do and what time it is and what day it is. And if there's any information that you want to give out for people to get a hold of you, then do that also, please.
Oh, sure. Well, the good news is this network, the Achieve Radio Network, is where I'm at. If people Google Achieve Radio James Martinez, it'll show up right there. Or if they'd like, if they would like to, if they have issues with their individual credit cards or mortgages, for that matter, because I do deal with people with mortgages as well. If that's an issue, they can email me at getdebtreliefnow@gmail.com. That's G-E-T, D as in David, E-B-T-R-E-L-I-E-F-N-O-W @gmail. They can email me there. I talk to everybody individually. I give them total full disclosure of everything, the good, the bad, the ugly, what to expect, how long it's going to take, what it may cost, everything. Another thing I'm proud to say, and I did this on purpose, is I've never sold anything to anybody. If somebody comes to me and they have a problem, I know for certain that it's pretty serious, very serious. It's life-altering decisions that some of them made, and they're at a critical point. And I think that at this stage of the game, I feel extremely socially obligated to give everybody the entire truth of the matter of what could happen. In terms of the implications of starting one of these programs, including what to expect, all the good things to expect, everything. Now, or they can be also, if people have, you know, alleged credit card debt, it's in semi-control now, or it's going to be out of control, or whatever the situation may be, and I'm talking to students as well, especially students, because you got raped as soon as you got in college from all the banks showing up and initiating you with credit cards, and they did it on purpose. The whole thing has been exposed. All the colleges in the U.S. completely sold out, fleeced their students. We're supposed to be in higher institutions of learning. That's not necessarily the case anymore. And if you would like to call me and you need assistance, you may call me at 888-213-9165.
Okay, then we're going
to keep...
Go ahead, that way.
If they need to, and they're already in a position, well, they're at the crossroads, and they're not sure what to do. I always tell everybody, look, do your homework first. I discuss with everybody individually their own situation, because some people come to me with very small amounts, and I tell them to settle it. Some people come to me with absolutely no assets, nothing, completely in debt. There's, you know, major issues having to do with what am I going to do next? I mean, people come to me like either they're about to get divorced, or sometimes I have people ready to kill themselves. I've had doctors, lawyers, scientists, students, lots of students single women, you name it, that have come to me, and I've been able to at least guide them in the right direction. And bare minimum, I can liberate them, because there's a lot of self-loathing going on, and people have failed, and they're very down on themselves, and they have no idea what has happened to them. It's like they've been hypnotized for many, many, many years, and I'm able to kind of pattern interrupt that and show them and prove to them that it's not their fault. It really isn't.
Right. It isn't. But they have been hypnotized for many, many years, and it's done all the time. You know, most political speeches that are put out on air have got all kinds of mind control stuff attached to it.
All
and
the codes,
people,
cues, and triggers are in there.
Yes, and people really, they don't understand that, you know, and they really do need to wake up, because they have to find out that, you know, it's not over for them. Even though we're in some crisis, it's still not over. I do have a question, and it will be up to you, James, if you want to answer it or not, okay?
Sure.
I have my own theory about 9/11, but I would like to know, if you want to answer this, why do you think 9/11 had to occur?
Oh, because we needed to re-implement there was no war going on, and we needed to re-implement the powers, because America was going to fail. And it was known it was going to fail a long time ago. So what better way to instigate an activation through a staged terrorist attack, the biggest one that we've ever had of all time, and so we could this would put America in a certain position of survival for a little longer, put him back in the game of the oil game, start this world terror. And it was all done behind the scenes and decided way before it happened, many years. It was all a stage thing to get where we're at now, the complete collapse of the economy.
Yeah, that's what I was told several times over by my own guides. And when I mention this to people, they look at me again like I'm from another world. And they go, how could you ever think, Nancy, that our government would want to do anything like that?
Yeah, they're so good at keeping secrets. I'm with you. I totally agree with you. Like, I'm totally amazed how, still to this day, how ignorant and totally programmed people are. It's their experience that they have as a human being through the five senses are completely, totally a lie. Most of the time, it's just, the denial level is so intense, and the cognitive dissonance that occurs when you take, you know, like, for instance, when you're talking to somebody and your beliefs confront the very beliefs that are the kind of platform in which somebody has kept their life on, the four pillars, you know, the table, and you knock one of the legs out by you speaking to them, you know, it's just, they can get angry with you and all that stuff. I know.
Oh yeah, I've had people say a lot of things to me, but you know what, James? It's like, you know, I cannot believe that the people here in the United States really cannot see through it, because it's been going on for so long. And then I sit back, and I don't watch a lot of television, because I don't watch it. And I sit back every now and then, and I'll turn on the television, and I see what's the programs, all the reality shows, and I sit there and I go, reality? I haven't got a clue. You know? And the news, I have a hard time sitting and listening to the news at all. I've always had a hard time doing that. But
right.
People will do that because, again, like you're saying, they have been programmed. The media has a great deal to do with keeping this program going, and they don't stop. You know, so yep. The more people can wake up, the more people you help, James, the more people understand, truly, the better the outcome is going to be here in the long run. I have another question for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're talking about mostly adults right now who have been kind of, you know, programmed to death for a while. What about these young kids coming in? What if we started helping these young kids at a very early age to see the truth? What do you think that would do?
I think it's a totally, absolutely necessary thing to do. I get email from all over the world, a lot of it from England and Canada and Sweden, some Eastern European places, and I ask students to contact me if some of the concepts that I'm talking about that they've heard in their schools. And I get with emails and they say, no, we never heard any of this stuff before. And I'm like, what? I mean, you pay for college and they're not telling you these things? Why is that? What is it that how have we failed in our educational system? Because I'll tell you right, one thing, there's other parts of the world that are laughing at us right now, laughing at America. They cannot believe how asleep we are to what has happened to us. Because, you know, this has been the land of the free and the home of the brave, supposedly. I don't think we're free and I don't think we're brave at all for what we have done and what we've participated in, because people are very fragmented in the society. It's a very different culture than other parts of the world. We're digitized now. When something is digitized, it changes the thinking patterns of people. We're all wired in this country, very much so. And that completely desensitizes us of talking to each other and then in the old ways. And it also, another problem with the digital environment is you can create fiction in media. That's one of the laws of media, is be able to create stories that for political purposes, done by the intelligence agencies for whatever reason, done by political figures and so forth. Look, these political figures have an oath of office, and right now, every congressperson, House of Rep, have not told us the truth. So most of them have violated their oath. And nobody's doing anything about it.
But haven't they been violating them for years upon years upon years?
Yeah, but you know, most people, they don't pay attention to the storm warning in their life. You know, I'm sure you've been with clients when you suggest them, it's best if you don't do this because of this. We don't, in this country, we don't pay attention until it's in our front door. Then suddenly it's a problem. But the warning before that. Yeah, you know what I mean.
Or even has entered the door.
Right.
Then it's like, oh my God, how did this happen? And it's like, well, let me just go back a few, years to iterate what was told to you a long time ago. You know, I just get a kick out of stuff like that. James, can you give out all of your information again? Because I really want people to, get it. And I'm sure because a lot of people need to know this.
Okay, the email to send me email if you have credit card issues and you're considering what to do next and how to deal with that issue, get out of it, you can email me at getdebtreliefnow@gmail.com. Or if you want to hear a little bit how that is done, and there's an introductory kind of overview that I have, if they call, somebody calls 888-213-7655, that's 888-213-7655. I will, and if they leave their telephone number and email address, I will go ahead and talk to them individually, get some information out for them. I talk to everybody individually to determine what the best course of action. I can't even tell you some people that have, it's totally changed their lives what I've been able to do. I mean, everybody has a kind of purpose in this life. One of these was me doing this for people. And because I'm still trying to, because I did it because I said, okay, here we have, and I knew like 10 years ago that we would be here where we're at today. It was inevitable. But I knew it and I knew how it was going to be done. And I said, what's the one thing that really will bring everybody together, no matter what religion, what social status, color, whatever? And it's this, money. The money.
Mm-hmm.
Now this wasn't just a little diddly-wink thing that we're doing in the U.S. Now it is global. It's a global thing. This should be a great celebration, should be happening right now, and people should rise up. It's the end of an era for the international bankers that have done this. However, if you, your listeners, my listeners, and everybody else listens, do not participate and projecting and creating a reality that they do want instead of protesting what they don't want, demonstrate what they do want on a mass level, we're going to be in a lot of trouble because we're at the bottom of the ninth now.
If somebody wants to create that, can you give them a few pointers or tips on how to go about that? Because I'm sure, James, some people really don't know how, and I think they'd be really, very grateful if you could tell them a little bit.
Yeah, you have to attract wealth, but you also have to realize that the programs through the extensions, the media extensions that we deal with every day, are affecting our perception. So I train people as they listen to my radio show to alter their perception and recalibrate it themselves so they can see through the filters of BS, so to speak, and edit for content and realize what's happening. So, you know, when they turn on the news and they see these bad stories, whatever, there's an actual systematic reason that, look, for everybody that doesn't know, I've worked in TV and film a long time. Anytime there's a big network show like Dateline NBC or something like that, and they put out a story, that is looked over, edited, watched, the legal department looks at it, everybody checks everything out before it goes out and airs. There's a reason for that. And that includes some of our education about banking. There's no such thing anymore as a financial advisor because that's obsolete now because of the digital environment. There is no official financial advisor in the digital environment because we've never been in this place before, ever. We're at a new level of consciousness. It's already started. You know, all the record companies, movie companies, banks, it's all being destroyed by the computers, all of it. You know, there's a lot of requests on the Hill. It could be counterintelligence. It could be real that the director of intelligence came out and testified before Congress saying we're going to have to shut down the Internet because there's too many problems because, you know, China's broken into our power grid. China's broken into all the banks. It's not just China. Everybody's breaking into everybody. So there's no privacy anymore, which is a good thing because there's going to be all the secrets. They're all going to come out, and it's already starting to happen, which is a good thing.
Mm-hmm. And it is because, again, people, I know, James, are starting to wake up because, like I said, I talk to a lot of people, too. And a lot of times, I really don't say anything. I just listen. And it's like, yeah, they're starting. You know, they just have to keep going. You know, they have to take the responsibility to keep going. And so I'll sit and I'll listen to, you know, hear what they have to say. And then there'll be one person in that crowd goes, you got to be crazy. You know, this is going on. You know, this is not happening. You know, we've got all this money, I don't know where it's at, but we got all this money, and they will then change their steps. And then I go, no, keep going, people, keep your steps. You know, but I think that fear factor that we talked about a little earlier kind of keeps people not taking the steps that they need to take. So what if we started, not in college, James, what if we started younger with the kids? What if we started when they start school helping? Would that also be a benefit?
Yeah, because I think that I was asked to, an author came to me and he was collecting, he wanted like small essays on what the most important issues would be to change the world. He got a bunch of, you know, kind of pioneers and what they're doing, and it was me and about probably 50 other people. And what I said in my piece was that the children really are going to be responsible for what's coming next, but we have to install internally, in the whole new generation of children, what value is. Like, what is our value system? Like, in this country, it's like, get a house, get a Ferrari, get a trophy wife, you're a success. You know, you're on TV, you're a movie star. That's what we think is success here. And that's not a good place to start at all.
No.
In fact, our children, I think, are the key to the whole thing, actually. And the new generation of children that are coming in are already hardwired. If you probably notice this, and a lot of people call them indigo children and these gifted mm-hmm. children that are coming up. They come up and we're seeing them in commercials for technology. Like, let's see, Bill Gates used Microsoft. Just recently did a commercial with small children interacting on computers. They're like hardwired already. They already have a whole understanding of technology and how to use it. That's already started. So within that, we have to be able to elicit within them a new value system, because we're at a point now, I know there's free energy available, it's going to start. Just that mm-hmm. concept is going to change the need for money in the future. and exchange of items on many, many levels. Like right now, if somebody had a cold fusion device, that's it. You can live off the grid, grow your own food. Goodbye. You're not paying any bills anymore. Unless you need a service from somebody else, then there's an exchange. But that's a distinct possibility. I interviewed a guy on the radio that was the head of Technocracy, and nobody even knows what that is, Technocracy. And he was talking about, nobody really listened to us for many years now, but suddenly now everybody's asking us for interviews because they realize that we really could have a clean, efficient economy where there could be no more corruption and whatnot. There actually is plans for that and been plans for that for a long time. So, it's an unusual place. We're at a certain bridge now.
I don't know if you had a chance to look at my website at all, but I actually moved down to New Mexico from Chicago 3 months ago to open a school down here. It's called the School of Now, and it's based on the children that do not fit into the basic curve, the bell curve. It's for those indigo children you're talking about. It's for the highly involved children and the ones who are but aren't being given any guidance. So that's what I came down here to do. So I'm always interested when, I have guests and I ask them, what if we started with kids? What if we do that? So to me, because that's where a lot of our future is going to be. In fact, my logo for that is Our Hope, Our Future. And so I'm down in New Mexico, and I'm, getting all kinds of great information and possibly getting land donated and everything else for my project. And I'm just looking forward to it because the children, I agree, are going to be the ones who make these changes. They're going to have to pay this price dearly if it isn't changed. And they are already hardwired for it. It just needs to be brought out. So that's why
right.
I was curious asking you, because
they're the new teachers, actually. They're going to be the new teachers of the future.
Yes, they are. They are. Mm-hmm. So my thought was, once my school is open, every month I'm having I call it a special instructor come in who will teach what that person knows. And after the instructor leaves, after a week, the entire school will continue to practice that. So I'm going to invite you to be one of those special instructors once I get to school up and going.
Oh, well, thank you very much. It would be an honor. In fact, one of the subject matters that I have on the radio I discuss weekly with Bob Neverett, a special guest. I have an international press conference on Wednesday with this guy. This is the team that brought out Cold Fusion. They have a total deep understanding of what's going on. Part of the educational process that we have every Wednesday is explaining what the digital environment does to behavior and being able to balance the interaction between what is called the chip body, the TV body, the chemical body, and the astral body, meaning our interaction with television, balancing media, news, balancing, checking in, balancing, being able to interact between these media extensions that we have and maintaining their health. Because we're seeing now, because of the digital environment, addiction, like a digital addiction. People now, I'm sure you've seen this where you are, that car accidents are occurring because people feel obligated to text while they're driving, or they're on the phone,
right.
Or that like the computers are changing human beings and behavior, and we're seeing effects of this all over. In Japan, some kids, it's not uncommon to find them not leaving their room for like 2 months because they're all wired in on their computers, and there's been lots of news stories about that. So these little effects I discuss, and I would probably discuss with those children how to manage bouncing from these different environments so they don't become out of balance, because everybody, as we're doing right now, we're wired in. We are wired in through a telephone device on the radio. Radio is the media extension of our senses. People listen to this live for information. Then they email, they plug in that way, and then they turn off, and then they may look at a book that's another media or a piece of print or television. All those environments all have a psychological process which needs the observer of those need to be, they need, in other words, children need to be aware of their awareness. Most probably are I haven't had the honor of meeting too many of these highly developed kind of geniuses that are around all over the country, but they tend to be the teachers now. People are paying. When these kids speak, it's really amazing because everybody just stops and they listen real closely, and it's like the effect is amazing. It's just remarkable.
Well, it is, because there's this little body standing there, but the words are not from the little body. The words are from somebody who's so much more out there and usually appears to be more intelligent than our typical average person is today. You know, and
exactly
then those
right.
kids have a very hard time in society because then they're not accepted the way they should be. They're put on drugs, you know, because they are out of control. They don't focus. So my thing is always starting with the kids first, because they truly are going to be our hope and our future, no matter what anybody else seems to think. You know, so that's why I was asking so much about kids, because I just, they're just so very, very important in the changing that's going on.
One of the most important things I would say is that one of the digital effects that's affecting the economy is how it's affecting our relationship with these media extensions like the television and the computer. All these suggestions that children have ADD and all these like attention deficit things is because what's happened is because the acceleration of communication, speed of light transmission of communication through the digital environment, computers, television, all this stuff, instant, like you can press a button and get whatever you want, anytime you want, mm-hmm. on anybody, mm-hmm. in any environment. You can do it from your hand. That accelerates the speed of things, and that is what's creating this ADD. So, and the intelligence agencies, they know this. So what do? They make money off of it. So they make commercials. Do you feel like crap? Take this. Do you like, can you think straight? Oh, you having problems with it? Take this. They've got every drug mm-hmm. for everything. They want to have everybody chemically induced and psychologically programmed. That's the name of the game.
Yeah. And it is, and it's like, I mean, there may be some children that, you know, might need to be on something, but my whole school system is truly based on, if they are on something, to help them get off by using all kinds of alternatives that they already know about, the media knows about, the pharmaceutical companies know about, and they're not telling anybody, you know, because you're right, they make a lot of money from that. And it's like in school, I've heard, and I don't know if it's true, you might be able to tell me, and I don't want to believe it's true, but I have heard that there are some schools that when they give out those drugs, those schools actually get a kickback.
Oh, and, yeah. That's true.
Okay.
That's true.
I mean, it's like, it's very, you know, very, for somebody like me, it's very annoying and aggravating to think that the schools would stoop that low and not care about what these kids are going to end up going through, what they have to experience, or even, you know, their suicidal attempts from all this stuff, just to make some extra money. I just have a really hard time with that. So wrong.
Yeah, one of the things, the reason I got on the radio is when I found out about the credit cards fleecing all the college students. Like, these kids, mm-hmm. some of them, like, you know, here they are. They've made it to college. Now they're getting ready to start their life. They're going to study a trade craft. They're going to go for the American dream and get the house, get the wife or husband or whatever the trip is. And they're finally at a higher institution of learning. They've worked very hard to get there. And what happens when the first semester of their freshman year, who comes in? All the credit card companies coming in. Now they know that once that agreement is made and they sign that contract, which they don't even understand themselves, nobody does,
mm-hmm.
That they will have them. They will be, those kids will work for the banks for their entire college career. And when they get out, most of them are never will have paid any of that off. So they'll go out, get their degree, maybe have school loans to pay, and then they have additional credit card, and then they got to go find a job to pay for all that,
mm-hmm.
which most of them are never going to do. It's over. And, I mean, we as a society are so desensitized to all this nonsense that, hey, we're all accountable. Everybody's got to realize that if we don't like it, we need to change it immediately. But it needs to be done in radical countermeasures. Radical countermeasures. People need to get involved. They need to demonstrate in the streets. They really need to do this and get actively involved. Otherwise, you know, your children will be fleeced right away, whether it's with drugs or credit cards or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. I wrote I wrote an autobiography of myself, but I also wrote another book. It's an e-book, actually. You'll find it interesting. The title is called The What Do You Think Book, Pencil with an Eraser Needed, Batteries Not Included.
And the whole, I like that.
It is really cool. The whole crux of this is the entire book is questions, quotes, and jokes about every facet of life. And the pencil is needed because it's kind of like a little workbook. Like, you know, the questions they ask, you get to choose your answer. If you don't like your answer anytime, you can erase it and give it another answer, okay? That's what the book is based on. But it's funny because the questions that every single person should be asking themselves is probably in this book. And not everybody's going to like this book because it gets very pinpointed questions. Like one of the questions for the government part is, do you think the American people are being led to the slaughterhouse like lambs?
Oh, you get a big red yes that flashes for me.
Yes.
So yeah.
All of those kind of questions, and it's throughout this book. And it's hysterical because some of the jokes in there are really cute. The quotes are great because they're all really mainline quotes, except one I put in there for myself. And you'll like this one too, James. My quote is, if you keep your head buried in the sand long enough, you are going to get your butt kicked really hard.
Right. Yeah, that's pretty accurate too.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's
those
right.
Those kind of things are in this book. And it's fun. It's just a good book, but it means a lot if people would just answer the questions honestly. It should help wake a lot of them up. James, please give out your information again because I'd like people to get it from you.
Sure. They can call me at 888-213-7655. That's 888-213-7655. Or they may email me at getdebtreliefnow@gmail.com. That's G-E-T, D as in David, E-B-T-R-E-L-I-E-F-N-O-W@gmail.com. Or if you'd like to, if it's easier to just go to James Martinez Live, if they go there, the email address is there and the telephone number is there as well.
And your radio show is on what day and what station?
It's on every Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday from 12 noon to 1 o'clock, and that's California time. And I cover all the financial aspects, what's secretly going on behind the scenes. I've uncovered everything about the banks pretty much and interviewed all sorts of people regarding media and its effects and so forth. There's plenty of information in there. It's designed actually for people that are getting ready to get rid of their alleged debt so they understand it, have a deeper understanding of what's happened, and also have a better understanding and kind of relinquish the fear about starting a new life and living under the circumstances that we are now, because it's, you know, all of us have to come together on this deal, because if we do not, we're going to lose.
Right, and the radio station itself is AchieveRadio.com?
AchieveRadio.com, cash-flow, and you will see it takes me directly to my biography, and all my archives are there for free.
And I have one more question to ask you, and again, you don't have to answer it if you don't want to. Knowing what you have uncovered with the banks, with a lot of things, have or has anybody come up with any threatening type call to you or telling you, you know, you've got to be quiet for a little while? Any of that happened to you yet?
No, because I'll tell you why. Because even though I do not like what has happened, I also know that I cannot entirely blame the international bankers and all the people that have set this thing up, because they didn't even know when we included the computer and that started to be developed into the banking world what was going to happen. In other words, it would get out of hand, because they knew for a while what was going on with the digital environment and it was kept a secret, but now everybody is lost. So I cannot, because of man's own invention and our reinforcement and behavior with the use of computers to change banking entirely. So I can't totally point the finger at the banks and say it's all your fault. It's a lot of their fault, but it's not entirely their fault. So I'm more looking, and my main message is cold fusion, to obsolesce the concept of banking and money altogether and bring in these new things, which are win-win strategies for the entire planet. Because if you bring in those things, and we grow up a little bit, will realize that we can save the planet. We do not have to be polluting it with oil anymore. There's all sorts of great things that are going to come from cold fusion. And so to answer your question, no, I have not been approached. I suspect that will happen at some point, but I guarantee, this I can guarantee you, if that person or individual sits in front of me face-to-face without any cameras or anything or any mic or anything, they'll believe me, and they'll know it's true, and they will have to deal with the moral issue of continuing to enforce something that's dangerous to their fellow man, because they'll have to answer to all of that later on, and they'll know it.
Mm-hmm. And I, again, I mean, it's real important that people wake up. That's a big thing. The school that I'm making is going to be a green school. It means anything out there, James, that's good for the environment, anything that will eliminate the electric, all that stuff will hopefully be put in this school of mine.
Absolutely.
So
you have my number. I will make sure that I show up for whenever you say.
No, I will. I think you'd be really, really great, you know, working with little, you know, the younger kids all the way up, because this school is for K through high school. And then after that, I have the Miracle Mind Institute for the ones who want to continue with the right frame of mind.
Yeah, good. We like that.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun. But like I said, I'm in the process, so I don't have it done yet. But as soon as I get it done, because I'm going to keep all your information, and you're going to get a call from me, I'm going to say, hey, James, you remember me? I interviewed you, and I asked you, and you said, great. Well, guess what?
I'm calling it in. Okay.
I'm calling it in for you. Before we go, because we've almost spent the hour, which was very, very enlightening, and I'm sure everybody who listened enjoyed it, could you please give out your information one more time?
Okay, there's multiple ways of getting hold of me. They can email me at getdebtreliefnow@gmail.com, or they may call me at 888-213-7655. If they leave their telephone number and email address, I will email them back and get in touch with everybody. Usually I'm pretty good about email. The longest back for me is like 48 hours, but usually it's in about 24 hours. So I'd be happy to respond and help out any way I can.
That would be great. And I'm sure that everybody who listened learned a lot, and I'm hoping that some of them will give you a call, because most of the people out there are kind of lost when it comes to their finances and how to get out of it. One last question for you, James. How do you think the world, because it really is the world now, is going to pull itself out of all of this financial mucky-muck that we basically have gotten ourselves into?
They will, on a global level, you'll see that people are going to resist, and they're going to resist, and they're going to resist. And then when cold fusion comes out and it's more public and it's discussed, it's really up to the public to do this. You cannot count on your elected officials to do this. It will not work, because they want to keep their job and keep their position, and they want to keep the machine going. The machine's broken. It's up to the public to come out. I don't care what country you're in. I know England is going down in flames. Other countries have already lost. It's really up to, if you really want to change the future, you need to demonstrate what you do want. Do not protest what you don't want. Demonstrate what you do want. Focus on what you do want in your reality. Do not complain about what's the matter. We all know what something's wrong. But if you ask and demonstrate in a peaceful manner what you do want in a mass level, then we all win.
That's great. Are there any focus groups out there that are doing what they do want that you know of, James?
I don't know. I don't do any research about what people are saying to me on the web, because I know that there's no such thing as 100% truth in a digital environment, so I don't get too much caught up. I'm sure there has been tons of discussion about certain focus groups and so forth, but the most part, it's you have a whole generation of people that are reinforcing the problem by dealing with the banks and how they purchase items and all these things is still going on. And look, if you put me on a panel with Susie Orman and all the other financial advisors on a panel, I mm-hmm. pretty much can assure you that they'll believe me, because I don't work for the mm-hmm. banks. I work for the public.
Which is good. It's the best way to stay, also, by the way.
That's
James,
right.
It's a pleasure. having you on the show. And I'm hoping that a lot of people will contact you, because believe me, there are many people out there who need not only to hear what you've talked about, but also need a little bit of reinforcements on how to do it for themselves. So, again, I appreciate you taking the time. And thank you very much. And I'm going to call you. You'll see.
All right. Okay. Take care.
All right, James. Take care. Thanks very much. I'd like to thank you, all the listeners. May God bless all of you. Have a great week. Kind of listen to what's been said. And take care. Bye now.